The words chosen for this morning are recorded in the 10th chapter of Acts, beginning with the 40th verse. Peter said, "Him, Jesus Christ, God raised on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to judge the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive the remission of sins." In Jesus Christ, the resurrection and the life, dear friends. In this glorious Eastertide, as we stand in spirit looking at the Savior's open grave, what is it really that draws us to this broken tomb? History knows of far more prestigious graves. You think of the wealth and the treasures that came from King Tut's tomb, or the Taj Mahal in India that was built as the final resting place of the emperor's favorite wife. We as Christians aren't even absolutely certain of the exact place of the Lord's burial. Muslims mock Christian missionaries, saying, "We have the tomb of our prophet in Medina, but you have nothing." Yet on Easter, we have everything. Everything. Every other grave smells of death and rot. But Jesus' grave proclaims victory, triumph, hope, and life for each and every one of us, for all. It's the glorious resurrection of our Lord. And we want to see first that it's an indisputable fact. For all skeptics, and there's a lot of them in this day and age, for all skeptics and outright unbelievers, Easter is the greatest hoax and folly of the Christian faith. Their ideas can be summarized in two theories. Either Jesus never really died, or he never really bodily rose again. Those who believe that Jesus didn't really die assume that he fell into a trance or a coma on the cross, and then in the cool of the tomb, he was revived. That idea is absurd in the face of the fact that the women came early to the tomb. What were they coming to do? To revive an unconscious Jesus? Far from it. They were coming to do a better job of the hasty embalming done by Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus on Good Friday evening. They would have laughed at the idea that Jesus didn't die. They had seen that spear, the head of which was the size of a man's hand, thrown into the Savior's side. They saw blood and water coming out of that wound, separated, showing that the death process had begun. They saw the body laid into the tomb. That Jesus never really rose also can't stand in the face of the New Testament documents. The documents tell us that early Easter morning, Jesus became alive in the tomb and was glorified. His body passed through the wall of the tomb and descended into hell to proclaim his victory over Satan and the powers of evil. Then he appeared to the women and to all the apostles, as this text says. He ate with them and drank with them and was made known to them in the breaking of bread, as Luke tells us elsewhere. As he is made known to us in the breaking of bread, the Holy Supper. During those 40 days after his resurrection, before the Ascension, we're told that he appeared to over 500 brethren at one time. There were many eyewitnesses to the resurrection. The New Testament documents were written in the lifetime of those witnesses. If there were any errors in them, they certainly would have told the apostles. Think about it. What was the power source of the early church if the disciples faked the resurrection? What gave the courage to men hiding behind closed doors to become valiant champions of the cross? What gave the early Christians the strength and the confidence to face the lions? The bones of a dead Jesus? Far from it. A living and triumphant conquering Lord. At Easter isn't only a victory for Jesus. It's our victory. It has fantastic meaning for each and every one of us here this morning. All people by nature are dominated by sin and death, controlled by Satan. We carry one after another to the grave. And we can even feel that domination in our old flesh right now, can't we? We've been to Easter services. We confidently say, our Lord arose. We're going to strive to live a life to his honor. And yet, how often haven't we failed already since Easter Sunday? How often aren't we angered and jealous, embittering our lives and the lives of others? We don't spend the time we should with our mate and our children, endangering our happy homes. We work, if you think about it, what are you here for this morning? Is it to get the best possible job possible and become famous? Is that really your God? Well, you'll work your body to death in that service, and you'll never be satisfied. What a wretched thing our sinful flesh is. But Easter tells each and every one of us here that we've been freed from that domination. Because of our faith in Christ as the Savior, his victory is our victory. Dr. Walter, the founder of confessional Lutheranism in this country, says in one of his sermons that by the resurrection, by raising his son, God the Father declared absolution or forgiveness for the whole world, for each and every one of us. The battle has been won. The debt has been paid. Thanks be to God. Jesus says to each of us today, because I live, you will live also. We're assured of resurrection life. But that's not something that you have to wait for until the end of the world or until you die. In your baptism, you were united with Christ's death and resurrection. You were buried with Christ in the tomb. In baptism, it was your Good Friday event. You died with Christ. Because we're dead, because we died with Christ, we are freed from sin. All our sins are washed into the depths of the sea. And then as he rose the third day, so in baptism, baptism became the beginning of our resurrection. There, we arose to new life. Faith in the Savior was worked in our hearts, and we were given resurrection power so that we can live resurrection lives right now, free from Satan's tyranny. Now, we don't have to be Satan's playthings anymore, doing his every perverted pleasure. Why should we be in slavery to those things that we know are going to hurt ourselves and those around us? Right now, there's resurrection power for each of us. Does it feel like that power is gone? Does it feel like we don't have the strength to go forward? Then today, in true sorrow over our sins, in repentance and trust. Go back to your baptism and be strengthened through the Word and the Holy Supper, where He gives each of us the power to do all things through Him. Then our resurrection lives will be renewed. That resurrection life, born in you in your baptism, nourished through the Word and the Supper, began there, will culminate in the resurrection of this very body on the last day. Now for the believer's body, death has become a restful sleeping place while the soul is with the Lord Jesus Christ in glory. And then, on the last day, this body will break forth from the grave glorified, as Job of old confessed, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and that He will stand at the latter day upon the face of the earth. And though my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my own flesh will I see God." Every Christian casket is closed in sorrow. There's no question about it. But in the confident hope that it will break forth in victory, because death has been swallowed up. The conqueror came forth from death's 3-day prison house. He is the victor divine, the conqueror of the universe, the Lord of lords and King of kings. He's risen. He's arisen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.